Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95 BFM?
Special edition. Special edition of What's Cooking. The comedy festival is upon us. When's it all kicking off, everybody? We've got a comedian in the room as well.
Pax Asadi.
Hello.
Have I pronounced your surname correctly?
It is.
Well, no, it's not.
How do I pronounce it?
Asadi.
Asadi.
Can we?
No,
Asadi.
Wrong again.
I'll just go Pax.
Yeah,
happy.
Let's just stick with that.
Yeah, okay.
It's no, I'm not fucking happy with that. Get it.
The reason.
No, I'm not.
Asadi.
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 It's all right, guys.
No, no, listen. Fuck it.
The reason I said it's fine,
yeah,
is because that's how the world that isn't Iranian has been
yes,
pronouncing it like that forever. So
okay.
I just can't be bothered.
So that anymore. For me explains why it's not fine.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean, but also let's not try and change it on BFM.
Right,
do you know
on,
what I mean?
Right on, like, right,
especially with me, my pronunciation is terrible. So.
That's right, I'm not mad at you.
Have you abbreviated Pax for the same reasons? No, that's it.
No, that's my first name.
That's a mint name.
My Pax is not connected to my culture at all. It's just a name that my mum really liked. It's Latin.
It's rad.
I quite like it as well.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
It's kind of cool stage naming.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was made up. There you go.
Most people do.
Turns out your mum is on point.
My wife, who met me for the first time like 7 years ago, she said when she first met me, was like, what the hell kind of stupid nickname is that?
When's he gonna tell me his real name?
Yeah.
It's my name.
It's a test?
Yeah.
Hey, so are you right, what end of the comedy festival are you performing? And where are you performing?
I'm performing, BFM's only in Auckland, right?
Yep. Yes.
So in Auckland, I'm performing on the last week of the comedy festival, 15th to the 19th of May.
Okay.
At Loft at Q Theatre.
Okay.
Yeah, right on Queen Street.
That
lovely
is
venue.
Is that Town Hall? Town Hall?
No, it's not Town Hall. It's like up the road from Town Hall.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the rest of the country though? Because people, we're on the internet.
I'm only doing Wellington.
Oh, cool.
Which I'll be on the first week, which is 1st to 5th of May. Mm-hmm. So I'll be in Wellington. I can't even remember the name of my theatre, but Google Pax Asadi Wellington.
Yeah,
you'll figure it out. And then the rest of the country is yet to be announced. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd sort of tailor this towards the comedy side of things, of course, because you're a comedian. What you will know and like is comedians.
Yeah.
And we've asked you to grab a few snippets of comedians that you admire for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
And you have done so.
Who would you like to start with? Who would you like to start with?
Let's start with Chappelle.
Okay.
Because he's my number one all time. Like there's a big gap for me between Chappelle and then my second favorite comedian.
Right.
Like he's the top dog for me.
Yeah.
So let's start with the top dog.
I'd just love to hang out with
him
sometime.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
What do you think of his new ones he's done on Netflix?
I think they're amazing.
Okay.
I think they're amazing. I think at times, and this happens very rarely during the specials, in my opinion, he feels slightly out of touch.
Mm-hmm.
Feels slightly old man being like back in my day.
You can tell he's a little bit jaded sometimes.
A little bit jaded.
But it's tight. The way he deals, like he's
what
so
I love about it is that in the special, he even says he's jaded.
Yeah, exactly.
He says, I'm so bored because I'm so good at this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I love that. But every now and then, and it's rare, he comes off as back in my day kind of guy.
Right,
other than that, I was so happy that he put them out and I love them.
Right on. All right, here we go. Dave Chappelle.
The one that you've just chosen, what is this and where is it
this
from?
This is, so you guys probably know that he disappeared to Africa like 15, 20 years ago. For whatever it was complicated, he ran away to Africa, and I was devastated because Chappelle was my favorite comedian, and he just disappeared.
Was
and
it after the second season of Chappelle Show? No, it was before. Was it before that? No, that was what he did. He like gapped it.
He gapped it because they offered him.
Yeah, he was just like
he didn't do the second season.
No, it got weird. Eh?
Yeah,
it got weird.
So, like 10 years later, a video just pops up on YouTube of him doing a set at the Laugh Factory in LA. Which is like mind blowing because I'm like, oh, he's back.
Mm.
And like all the heavy Dave Chappelle fans like went nuts because he's like, he just shows up randomly.
Right.
And that kind of kicked off the beginning of Chappelle's return.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I hate ever since I walked away from that show? Is that people keep trying to give me advice. because I guess I've been like depressed. And she know you'd be depressed and people be like trying to cheer you up. And then I had show business. That's what made me so mad about it. So they'd be saying, hey, Dave, look, I know that was a rough experience and I can only imagine what you've been through, but you know, you just gotta hang in there. And what you gotta do is you just gotta keep your chin up. Just keep your chin up, Dave. Word, that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing wrong. My chin was too low. Shut the fuck up. This had nothing to do with my chin, nigga. Keep your chin up. What kind of shit is this? See niggas walking around show business. Oh, I know. So, and this girl I knew sent me a book called The Secret. She was like, listen, David, this is gonna help you. It's called The Secret. I thought this, you know. And I started reading the book, and I read like 5 pages of shit and threw it in the trash. I was fucking, I can't believe they sell this shit. Do you know what this bitch says the secret of life is? She said it was positive imagery. You gotta visualize the things you wanna have happen in your life. Like, bitch, that's the secret of life to you? Then kill yourself. It's gotta mean more than that. Positive imagery. Bitch, fly to Africa and tell one of them starving children that shit. What's wrong with you? I have not eaten in 5 days. What you need to do is visualize some roast beef and some mashed potatoes and gravy. Oh, please, bitch, you're killing me. Stop talking like that. No. The problem is you have a bad attitude about starving to death.
Dave Chappelle, one of the best doing it at the moment.
One of the best, ever.
Agreed.
In my opinion, the best ever. Well, but that's subjective, right? Comedy subjective.
Totally. I'd recommend everybody go back and watch the Chappelle show, the OG Chappelle show.
Yeah,
so good, man. Yeah. Stand up as well. It's still good.
Yeah, he was. I honestly think he was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, totally.
With the Chappelle show.
Yeah.
Like I think Key and Peele. You guys know Key and Peele.
Mm-hmm.
Key and Peele hit the nail right on the head. They came about at the perfect time.
Yeah.
Where I think Chappelle could have been way bigger. It just was a little bit confusing for people because
he was doing some complex skits, man.
That people weren't even getting. Yeah. You know, like we weren't even understanding fully. We were like laughing because we know it's supposed to be funny, but we don't quite get it yet. And then 10 years later, people were like, no, this is freaking brilliant. Like this is hilarious. So yeah, amazing.
Very nice. Very nice. We are here with Pax.
Hi.
Babyface Society. That's my nickname.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a quite nice face, actually.
Thank you.
No eye contact.
No one else calls me that.
Now, what's the next clip that you've got for us?
Next one, maybe we'll go with Omid.
Why have you chosen Omid?
Because Omid is, I am half Iranian, half Pakistani. Omid is the first comedian that I came across that was also of Iranian descent. And I kind of lost my mind because I was obsessed with stand-up at my teenage years. And then I finally found a comedian that had my experiences.
Right.
Which was very exciting. And I watched him a lot and I kind of fell in love with his comedy style. And I'm super, 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 super lucky that we're friends now and we
That's cool.
Yeah, very cool that we talk to each other and we contact each other, which is amazing. Because he's like one of my comedy idols. But yeah, that's kind of why I picked them.
That's rad.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, before you say anything, this sketch was actually based on truth. It's actually called foreign accent syndrome. Apparently people have had strokes and they've woken up with a different accent. There was actually a Geordie woman who woke up with a Jamaican accent. It's absolutely true. She woke up and they said, how are you feeling? She went, easy no. And when she heard her accent, she goes, how do you feel? She goes, I'm totally devastated. But there's a very clear differentiation between having a condition and simply being a ponce. There are some people who put on accents, they're very poncy. You know, there are some people who think it's very cool to pronounce anything ethnic with the correct accent. You know, you see people at theatre festivals saying, oh yes, I went to see a great French theatre company called Le Théâtre de la Mimi du Pain. Very good. And what's that Spanish dance company, the Spanish thing, the dance thing from Spain, it's on the tip of my tongue, the, the Oye, mire, yo quiero cosa de California, porque me siento tan bien, dance workshop from Madrid. It's amazing. And what's that Nigerian theatre company? What is going on? I don't believe it. Theatre company, In Lagos, really experimental. Now, if anybody wants to learn a Nigerian accent, it's very simple. Just go into your spam emails and just click one on and just read. He goes, my name is Chief Makinde. I want to transfer $9 million into your private account. Would you like a bigger penis? I found shifting accent for me is very useful, especially if plumbers come round. If plumbers come round, I would say, oh, mate, cavity, mate, cavity, hey, slash the cake, mate, slash the cake, hey, come and be skids, hey, come and be skids, hey, do you want some, mate, hey? And my wife says, what the hell are you doing? I said, I'm trying to blend in, you know? They find out we're middle class, they might rip us off, you know? Be like them, and they give us a proper price. Of course, I don't have to do that anymore, because when a plumber comes around, I just say, Dzień dobry, rozumiem po polski. It's actually Polish for, would you like a cup of tea and a slice of cabbage?
I love that last bit, because I never understood the joke. Right. Growing up, like, because Omid was one of my favorite comedians growing up, and I'm like, he hits that punchline and it gets a massive applause. People are like, oh, that's hilarious. And I'm in my room as a 14-year-old, be like, that's so funny. Yeah, I don't know what it means.
Rad.
So have you had the fortune to cross paths with him?
Not yet. We haven't met physically, but because we're both of Iranian descent, and I guess I've made some waves. Yeah. I caught his attention and he contacted me through email.
All right.
And so we've spoken to each other a couple of times over email.
Man.
Yeah.
Somebody's saying they thought he was Pakistani.
Omid Jalili. No, he's Iranian.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm half Pakistani, if that's what they mean.
Could be. They're not putting names to the...
I think they mean me. Okay. I am Pakistani. I'm half Pakistani, half Iranian.
There you go.
Yeah.
Problem solved. 5395, you've got any more questions, send them through to PAX.
Send them through. General knowledge stuff even.
We take phone calls. 309-3879, we'll figure it out.
Shall we track on through these other comedians?
Mm, yeah.
And I feel like I'm curious to learn about your routine and your little show. But we'll save that for the end, eh?
Okay.
What's up next?
Sounds ominous the way you're putting it.
No, I'm kind of like, I just I'm enjoying the flow of these comedians.
Okay.
I just didn't want to break it up. What's up? What's up next?
Who do I have next? I have Wanda Sykes and...
Old mate Patricia, is it?
Patrice.
Patrice, sorry.
Let's go Wanda Sykes.
I only have the first part of the word, so I took a shot. I took a shot in the dark. For me, it's Patrick dot dot dot.
Patrick. Let's go Wanda Sykes.
Right on, here we go.
It's harder being gay than it is being black. It is, because there's some things that I had, there's some things that I had to do as gay that I didn't have to do as black. I didn't have to come out black. I didn't have to sit my parents down and tell them about my blackness. Sit them down, Mom, Dad, I gotta tell y'all something. I hope you still love me. I'm just gonna say it. Mom, Dad, I'm black. What? What did she just say? Oh, Lord Jesus, she didn't say black, Lord. Did she say black? Mom, I'm black. Oh, Lord Jesus, that's black. But black Jesus. Give her cancer, Lord. Give her cancer. Anything but black, Lord. It's like, Mom, yeah, I'm black. That's just how it is. No, no, you know what? You've been hanging around black people. You've been hanging around black people, and they got you thinking you black. They twisted your mind. Like, no, Mom, I'm black. That's just how it is. What did I do? What did I do? I knew I shouldn't have let you watch Soul Train. Was it Soul Train? No, Ma, it wasn't Soul Train, Ma. Just who I am. I was just born black. Oh, you weren't born black. I don't want to hear that. You weren't born black. The Bible says Adam and Eve, not Adam and Mary J. Blige.
I forgot about that punchline. I forgot about that last punchline. I thought the punchline was Soul Train.
I recognize that lady's voice. She's been in a few sitcoms, eh?
She's been on a bunch of sitcoms.
Yeah, she gets her on.
Yeah, she's like the Black Roseanne.
She's a powerful little lady, that one.
So half the appeal with Wanda Sykes is just her voice, like the way she speaks.
Yeah, I was just saying, I could listen to her swearing all night.
Yeah.
It would be a good time.
Yeah, it's her charisma and her voice. I love Wanda.
Totally.
She's so funny.
Very nice. Someone's shouting out an old Eddie Murphy. Yeah, he's got some good ones. Those Delirious is... Everybody should watch those, right? That's kind of like Stairway to Heaven of comedy sort of stuff.
I've never heard of Stairway to Heaven. I mean, I've heard of Stairway to Heaven.
Exactly my point.
But I've never listened to Stairway to Heaven. But I know what Stairway to Heaven is. In some ways. It hasn't aged super well in some sections of it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like...
I guess when it's political... or like social commentary in that sense, that's gonna age, isn't it? Because opinions change.
What about Richard Pryor? Where do you think how do you think his stuff is dated?
I think Pryor. Okay, the easiest way for me to
there's a lot of coke, John. A lot of cocaine.
The easiest way for me to the excessive amounts of cocaine. But like, the easiest way for me to explain it is to relate it to sports. I'm a huge basketball fan. I'm an NBA fan. Mm-hmm. So when people say to me, if George Gervin played in the league right now, would he be just as good? And I'm like, you can't. Yes. That's not a valid argument, because the people that he was playing against were different. Mm. The medical system was different. Your longevity is different because the trainers have less knowledge. The technology around you is not as advanced. So of course LeBron can score 40 points a game at 33 years old, and George Gervin's career is deteriorating at 33 years old. Like, it's apples and oranges. So in the same way,
vitamins.
In the same way, comedians from that age, you just can't compare them to now because they're just in a completely different environment.
Yeah. Also, they're catering for different headspaces as well.
Different headspaces. Yeah. They're exposed to different things. Mm. Comedians are like vegans now. Back then, you could go
anywhere.
You would just eat 7 steaks and then hit 30 lines of coke and then hit the stage. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
There's like less you can really draw on. I mean, I guess, depending on your crowd, you know.
But comedians are in different headspaces. Mm, they're clear-minded. You know, like, it's just a whole different ballgame.
It must be kind of one of the last places sort of left where people are saying righteous stuff over and over in a room. You know, that can be quite full on.
Let me tell you, sometimes. Yeah. You want to kill yourself when you've said the same joke for the 100th time.
True.
Yeah.
Actually, let's talk about the craft. What are some things that a comedian like must have sort of up your sleeve? Do you have to have a knock knock joke, or is that?
You don't have to have a knock knock joke, but you have to. I mean, you know when you do have to have a knock knock joke, when someone comes up to you and meets you for the first time and you say you're a comedian.
Oh,
no,
right.
They go, you're a comedian, and they go, tell me a joke. Like, that's.
That it sounded just like
actually
John.
Actually no. You shouldn't have a knock knock joke. You should just say fuck off.
Who's there?
What do you need to have? You do need to have some reliable gear that is up your sleeve. You never know what's going to happen on stage. Mm. You never know how the gig could turn, and you need
to
have gear.
Is this just road tested stuff? Road tested. You know that at least. It'll sort
work
the room out
anywhere.
Yeah.
I have about 30 to 35 minutes worth of material that I know, regardless of where I do it, no matter who's watching me, it's gonna work.
Sweet. Okay.
And you need to kind of develop that. And the beginning part of your career, to be honest, is developing that.
Right.
Like, there are some comedians that, and this is if you want to be a working comedian who gigs around the country and that's your living. Mm. If you're someone who only sees stand-up as a stepping stone to like other stuff, then that's not as important. But if you want to make stand-up the largest chunk of your income, that is the first thing you got to develop.
Right.
Is road-tested, hard-hitting stuff that will work anywhere.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What about your routine? Do you get dressed up, or is it matter about appearance as much?
I do get dressed up a bit.
Mm.
Yeah, like I've kind of developed an image.
Mm.
I'm not wearing a suit, but yeah, I get dressed up a bit.
Could go anywhere at any moment, sort of dressed up, like ready for anything.
Yeah. It's that kind of vibe. Yeah,
the urban kind of action man.
It's urban
Rod
action
and
man.
Gun kind of.
Yeah. It's Bow Wow going to a court date.
I'm picturing someone with like a Batman utility belt right now.
Everybody needs that in every profession.
Every comedian needs a utility belt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I guess we'll wind our way to the last clip that we've got here.
Yeah.
Now it
Patrice
is
Patrice O'Neill.
Right. Okay. Sweet. What do we know about Patrice?
Could have been in the top five greatest comedians of all time. Died very early. In his early to mid 40s.
Okay.
And this is all my opinion, obviously. I'm not just like spouting this as fact. But one of my favorites of all time. And one of the guys who, regardless of who talks about him, whether it's Chris Rock down to like someone who's just gotten out of the open mic scene, everyone unanimously talks about him as someone who went too early and could have been one of the best.
Wow.
And was just an absolute crusher.
Okay.
Every room he would just crush. So yeah, interesting guy.
Sweet. That name again?
Patrice O'Neill.
Sweet.
It's hard to be honest, man. Honesty is not the greatest thing to be. It's not, it's just no one wants to hear. Yeah. Especially your woman, you know, she don't want to hear that. Because men, it's hard for us to love you and like you at the same time. It's just, it is what it is. Once a man loves you, he no longer likes you usually. So I'm going to give you some advice, ladies, on how to keep your man liking you once he loves you, if that's possible. This is what I think. Men want to be alone, but we don't want to be by ourselves. Does that make sense at all? Meaning, really, look at this guy looking at his wife like, not you, sweetie, but sort of you, kinda. We want you somewhere, like, in the dwelling, just not here, like, just like around the corner, in the vents. You can sit in the vent, I don't care if you want to watch me, but in the bay, on the roof, anywhere, but just not in front of me, trying to be my friend. What you doing? Watching baseball? Why are you watching baseball by yourself? How come you didn't get me up? You snuck out of bed. Why'd you didn't get me up? I want to watch baseball with you. What you doing? Why you down here by yourself? Move over. Move your leg off that ottoman where it's comfortable so I can sit next to you and wrap my leg around your leg and some weird I love you hot vine. Move up, give me your arm. Give it to me, come here. Give me a kiss. Mean the kiss. You love me? Say it, mean it. What you doing? What you eating a hamburger? You shouldn't be eating a hamburger at 11. It's too early to eat a hamburger. Let me go make you a better sandwich, a turkey sandwich on 47 grain bread with no mayonnaise and bean sprouts. Tastes like rat turds and twigs. Ain't that better? A dry sandwich you don't want? Ain't that better? Why is the TV so loud? Well, turn it down. Ain't that better? Can't hear the TV. Got a dry sandwich you don't want. Ain't that better? Why is it so cold in here? Why is the ceiling fan and the air conditioner? Turn it off. Ain't that better? Sweating, wrapped up into a hot vine. Can't hear the TV. Got a dry sandwich. Ain't that better? Why is it so dark in here? Let some sunlight in. Ain't that better? Can't see the TV. Can't hear it. Hey, I gotta go, man. Y'all take care, man. Thank you very much.
Oh, mate, it's nonstop.
Yeah, nonstop. That was a clip from Patrice O'Neill that I had to find that was the least controversial. Patrice O'Neill.
Sounds like he feeds off the crowd. Like, if they're into it, he just keeps going.
Yeah, he keeps going. He's that kind of comedian.
No.
And Patrice O'Neill had a lot of people that loved him.
Right.
And a lot of people that absolutely hated him. And I'm going to be honest.
It's the way it kind of goes.
Kind of. I mean, but more than others.
Right.
Like, there were people that vehemently hated him.
Wow.
And I'm not going to deny that he was problematic at times.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But that's the kind of comedian he was. He liked to just, like, really push people.
What's the era?
He kind of was the late 90s. Oh, he started to gain notoriety early 2000s and then kind of died mid 2000s, or like, I think 2008 kind of died.
Hey, Pax, one last question.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Would you consider comedy like, it's kind of like the blues, where you wouldn't trust like a young blues musician? It's sort of, you need to have a bit of age on you for you to be kicking ass at comedy? Or have you seen some kids ruling it that you're like, do you know what I mean? You believe it when it comes. Do you feel what I'm saying?
Yep. I totally understand what you're saying. And I think that's true.
I reckon, eh?
I think that's true. There's no school for comedy. You can't learn it anywhere. You got to just do it. And if you haven't done it for a while, there's no way you know what you're doing. Because there's no, like, get good fast.
Right.
There's no teacher that's going to give you a crash course in 6 months and then you get good at it, you know?
Top like the current climate as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, absolutely.
So, you're
Brown famous.
Your act that you've got for the Comedy Fest. Just tell us a little bit about that before we wrap things up.
Sorry, say that again?
Tell us a little bit about your show that you're doing for the Comedy Fest.
Yeah. The title is Brown Famous. The show was meant to be about how I'm brown famous, because, I mean, I'm only recognized in neighborhoods where brown people live, South Auckland, Sandringham, that kind of thing. And it kind of morphed. I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And it's kind of morphed into marriage, kids, more everyday life. And so being brown famous is now only just like a segment of the show, rather than it was going to be the whole show. Now it's just a part of the show, and now the show is just about everything. It's just about the current climate of my life. But I just kept the name Brown Famous because it's kind of catchy. And
okay,
sweet.
Yeah, that's it.
Kicking, cool. Hitting Auckland May 15th to the 19th.
15th to the 19th, Loft at Q Theatre. And I'm going to be on the gala on the 26th. So make sure you... it'll air on the 29th or whatever the Friday is after that. So make sure you watch that on TV3 as well.
Sweet. Hey, Pax, thanks a ton for coming in. That was a real treat. It was a good vibe, man. Thanks.
Thank you. I had fun.
Right on. That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.